Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you in Jesus' name. I love you and I pray for you all the time. And the Lord lots of times at nighttime does that with me. He'll have me wake up and pray for people. And no interruptions, usually. So I want to share something good with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for being our God, being our Savior, working all things together for our good, bringing us through the crucible, Lord, bringing us through the furnace, Lord, burning up the wood, hay, and the stubble, and getting us ready to work in your kingdom, Father. And we thank you so much, Lord. Please bless all of our brethren, Father, in Jesus' name. Please bring those out of darkness, Lord. Please save the infectious folks, Lord. Please answer all of our prayers, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I'm going to share a revelation. I'm going to share a lot of scripture with you today, so just sit back and listen. We had a couple of threats that were back-to-back from the faction folks, and then the Lord gave us some answers, you know, and they're pretty neat. They're basically saying what he's about to do. And I just started out with this text that Eve got. She said, these are the verses I got. The first verse I received was Ezekiel 32 and 30. There are the princes of the north. You remember in Joel, the northern army that was coming against the bride, right? That's representing that situation. All of them and all of the Sidonians who are gone down with the slain in the terror which they caused by their might, they are put to shame. And they lie uncircumcised with them that are slain by the sword, and bear their shame with them that go down to the pit. And Eve said, this is a confirmation of Deb's verse about Edom being smitten. You know, Paul showed in Hebrews that Esau, or Edom, sold his birthright through a root of bitterness and was reprobated like Judas and Absalom and Korah, etc., etc. But Deb's got a double confirmation here. Ezekiel 25 and 12, thus saith the Lord, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended, and revenged himself upon them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will stretch out my hand upon Edom, and I will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman even unto Dedan, shall they fall by the sword. And Deb went on to say, when Belinda asked me to read her again the verse I received in Ezekiel, I randomly opened the Bible to the exact page as before, but instead of Ezekiel 25:12-13, my eyes fell on the paragraph just below it, which was Ezekiel 25:15. Thus saith the Lord, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge, and have taken vengeance with despite of soul to destroy with perpetual enmity. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Chariathites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. Now, you know, I'm going to share a bunch of verses with you that we just received from the Lord. We're just relating them. We're making no threats against the faction, just reporting what the Lord showed to us he would do concerning their threats and their lies against us. We very much know and love them, and we know that this is not them. And that's a really good place to be, because we have to love our brethren, right? So Eve went on. She said, the next verses I received was Isaiah 48:6. Thou hast heard it. Behold, all of this, and ye, will you not declare it? So you heard from God. You heard what he had to say, and will you not declare it, he said. I understood this. We received this text before recently, and we are to declare what the Lord has told us about the chastening and repentance of the factious, because this is how God does things. It's spoken into existence all through the Bible. That was the way. That was the method. And we are to declare the destruction of the factious demonic forces, as we can see clearly God is saying in these texts I'm going to share with you. It goes on, I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, which thou hast not known. They are created now. Well, what brings them into existence now? Well, they're being spoken. That's why he said, you need to declare it, right? And not from of old. Notice that. And she said, this was the verse that I received for the year 2012 onward in the dream. I will reign in his stead. So the Lord is saying, declare the things I have told you. Speak them out of your mouth. Well, in this dream, I will reign in his stead. The Lord ruled through the Davids, which he is about to do. And the last one I received, Eve said, was Isaiah 51 and 16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens. And, you know, the heavens, we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. He is planting the heavens with his righteous people. And he's laying a foundation to do a great revival. And lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, that is the bride, thou art my people. The Lord has put his word in our mouths as a sword to bring judgment on the faction movement. As in Eve's dream about me bringing a spanking on the red-haired, rebellious, factious young girl. Wonderful revelation. And of course, I knew this, but the dream just made it real plain to me and to a lot of others too what he was going to do. The threats, well, two days we got from the factious folks. They obviously are mounting an effort. And that's why I'm coming to you, because I don't want you to be affected or hurt, and I want you to be a part of the prayers and a part of the warfare. I received these texts from an angry, factious man early on the morning of 8/8/14, from around 12:30 a.m. to after 3 a.m. He said, David, who made you the judge? Well, obviously, I'm just trying to make the Lord the judge here. The Lord has much to say about you. You will die in your sins. Except he's never told me what they are. It really doesn't matter, I think. Except you repent of your evil doings. And he hadn't told me that what that is either, because he won't talk to my face, only behind my back. We received this today by faith at random. And this was the day of 8/8, actually. The Lord has much to say about you. No, excuse me, I'm sorry. 1 Samuel 20:1. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, Saul, that he seeketh my life? Boy, that was a good answer. Because Saul was demon-possessed. He was jealous of David, and he was demon-possessed. You can't reason with demon possession. David was as confused as I have been, you know, at what these people are saying and the things that they come up with. Anyway, he went on to say, the judge stands at the door of your heart. I saw the Lord lifted up with the sword in his hands, both hands on the handle. Judgment is coming soon. There's one of them right there. My question was, of course, why didn't he take the warning? If the Lord's standing there with a sword in his hands, I can guarantee you it ain't coming at me. I know who it is coming at. And I know that the Lord is crucifying me, and that's good. I don't have any problem with that. But as soon as he's through with that, that's when, according to scriptures, he turns on the crucifier, right? He went on to say, a sister within the assembly, I don't know what assembly he's talking about, it's not our assembly, but saw a vision of the Lord behind David with both hands on the sword about to bring judgment. Nahum 1 and Micah 7 about to bring judgment. Well, now, I would never pay any attention to a demon-possessed person's dreams or visions. But sometimes God speaks to them to warn them, but they pervert it to be against their enemies. And since these spirits entered into this person, he has done this often, perverted dreams with witnesses there. And both I and the first person I shared this text message with independently thought that this shows that the Lord is behind me and ready to judge, but he's not behind them. And he's ready to speak judgment through me on them. And I asked the Lord, here's your answer right here too. I mean, that was awesome confirmation. But I asked the Lord, are you soon to take authority over the faction through me? And I asked for four heads. And I got four heads for a yes. And just for you today, I know I'm reading this a couple days after I wrote this, but just for you today, I asked for two more heads today on 8:10 and got them. That's six times in a row. The Lord said, yes, I'm going to use you to release the judgment, the chastening. In Eve's recent dream, I was told by the Father to give a spanking to a corporate little red curly-haired factious girl who was speaking against me to UBM people. We had a separate dream before that where this same person who sent this text was passing on their threat and was an individual little red-haired factious girl. And so that was a confirmation. It was a totally different dream altogether. And the Lord declares that those who gather together to judge the saints will fall because of them. In other words, God will give that to them to handle. Isaiah 54 and 15, behold, they may gather together, but not by me. And whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the fire of coals, and bringeth forth a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. So no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In other words, it won't prosper the wicked or the evil purpose. It's only going to prosper God's purpose as far as a crucifixion. But then God does something with the crucifier. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, saith the Lord. So God does give that honor to the people who are being persecuted and hated. The Lord prophesied, the Lord prophesied through Kevin to you in one of the Monday prayer meetings, Proverbs 26 and 27, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those whom it hath wounded, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Well, we have received this text several times about the faction, but Kevin and I and the Monday Prayer Assembly know that he never prophesied this to me. So this person is the lying tongue in this verse. It was pointed at him. The Word of God says that our sins will find us out, he says, Proverbs 6:16 through 19. You haven't come against me, you have come against the Lord, he said. Well, it was he who came against me behind my back for months, according to all the witnesses. And it seems he's trying to take credit and prophesy ahead of the plan that the factious passed on to two of our brethren. They bragged, "Soon UBM will be no more," and a few other slanderous railings. Now, this threat is nothing new, but we received two witnesses of their plan to destroy us in 2 days. Sound familiar? How about those attacking natural Israel over there? That's a type and a shadow of what's being fulfilled in the church. Remember, the things that happen unto them are for our admonition, right? The demon army has threatened this for about 7 years that I know of, but they have done nothing but cleanse us of evil. And if you go to the David Wilkerson page on the front of our site, you can read on down and see that. We have been given many, many dreams and visions to protect the saints with and to show them what the Lord is saying, not just men are saying, but what the Lord is saying to them. And many of those dreams and visions had names in them, but we felt to take them out for the time being. Many more we have not yet posted because it was too hard to take the names out and still have them make sense. But the Lord has said soon all will be known about this war against the saints. It is a historic war. We are making history, Bible history. It is in Revelation chapter 12. And Satan's plan to destroy UBM, and not just UBM, but other ministries that are working for the Lord, and myself, through his demon factions, witchcraft and hatred and slander and railing, etc., because he hates our materials. That's the reason he's doing this. He's made it very plain because he's attacked the material workers. He's attacked the materials themselves. He's stolen money through his minions, things like that. We have to obey Jesus and love our enemies while we hate their enemies who conquered them. You understand what I mean? We're not wrestling with flesh and blood here, but principalities and powers. We know our brethren, and we know this is not them. And so for victory over them, that is these principalities and powers, we must sanctify and humble ourselves and obey the verses that the Lord gave us to point us towards this. Remember, the Sennacherib scenario we have received many times from all over the Bible. It's probably the most found or given text to us. And he reminds us over and over what happened there, how that Sennacherib conquered Israel and Judah, but came against the bride and was taken out. What the Lord is doing now is sanctifying the bride to prove who is the bride. It must needs be that factions be among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest. God is going to prove who is manifest in his sight. So their evil plan to destroy Zion was foiled by God who smote them. And the dragon was prophesied in Revelation 12 to attempt to devour the man-child before the tribulation starts. And then, of course, the woman. And here's one version from Joel that we've gotten many times. Joel 2 and 12. Again, I'm talking to you saints so that you know what the Lord is expecting of you in this spiritual warfare. We are one body here. Even though local UBM sees me a lot more than you do, we are one body in the Lord. Joel 2 and 12 says, "Yet even now, saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all of your heart." Well, this is when that northern army was coming down against the bride. "And with fasting," we've been fasting, "and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly." Please do this, saints. Repent of any sin that's in you so that you can take a part in this battle without being taken out, right? And that the Lord will hear your prayers, right? Assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breasts, and let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Well, that's interesting. Where are they? Obviously in Zion, right? They're not in the rest of it. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep before the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. We all feel this here. We feel the pain when we see people getting taken out. Mostly, I think, not mostly, but all the time, because of some kind of hidden sins. Something they're not willing to deal with. And they're just being put back a grade, I would say, to go back through it again. Spare thy people, O Lord. So do this, saints. Cry out to God. And give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain, and new wine, and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate. And then he went on to say that he would send the former and the latter rain instead. Oh, glory be to God. Yep, we've been praying for that a lot. I hope you are too. Been praying for the Lord to bring that revival. It's better to be changed by revival than slaughtered with the sword, right? And I hate to see blood and guts. But sometimes people are just that stubborn, you know. Nehemiah 1 and 3 says, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, these are both texts that we received in direction, you know. The remnant that are left of the captivity, in other words, while the rest of them were taken into captivity, the remnant that's left, there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. And I fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven. Good idea. Please do that, saints. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord, the God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant. Men, hold fast to the covenant, saints. You who walk with the Lord, you that aren't unforgiving and bitter and critical, you have a covenant. They do not. You don't have a covenant with God. Hebrews 10:26, read it. If you're bitter and critical and unforgiving, and constantly fighting against someone like you don't have a job to do. And that keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments. There are commandments that are being all disobeyed. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer of thy servant. In other words, Father, please hear our prayer, which I pray before thee this day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, while I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, yea, I and my father's house have sinned. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If you trespass, I will scatter you abroad among the peoples. So accordingly, of course, those who have sinned against God and us have been scattered. And that is not a bad thing. It's his way of separating his bride. But if you return unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts were in the uttermost parts of the heavens, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen, to cause my name to dwell there. And that's, of course, the bride, Jerusalem. He will bring them back. Not necessarily in time to be a part of the bride, but he will bring them back to be under the bride. Because, folks, the bride under the man-child's ministry is the only leadership we're going to have in the tribulation period. Other than that, there's going to be the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees out there to lead the people who don't want to submit to God. Remember what Jesus, what John said of Jesus, you know, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, you know. He was training up a foundation to send forth, to bring in the harvest, right? And another verse that we received that declares our victory is Zechariah 12:8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that is the bride, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem, by the way, is in all nations too. And the peoples of the world, and even the worldly church, and even the apostates, they're all a part of that nation. And they've always attacked Jerusalem. They've attacked all of the prophets. They've slandered them. All of the prophets, Jesus, all of his disciples, they've done that. The people that were called their brethren did that. Is it going to be any different? No. Things that have been are the things that shall be. Listen, there is not a day that goes by that we don't pray for our old friends and trust God to restore them. We believe the Lord has shown us that destroy here means the separation of the demon army from their human hosts. And we believe that's what the Lord showed us. Praise God. So when you hear destroy the nations, think about that. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Next, we're told by the Lord on the 6th, and also before this, Isaiah 48:6. Thou hast heard it. Behold, all of this. And ye, will you not declare it? What the Lord has said, we must hear and we must declare by faith. Thou hast heard it. Behold, all of this. We've heard everything we need to hear. It's time to declare it, to speak it out of our mouths. And I'm going to share a bunch of verses here that we got to declare, that the Lord showed us. And in just 2 days, actually. As we read these verses, we should believe that we receive answers to the prayers. These are verses that are given to our morning prayer group from the 6th to the 8th. And, of course, we're not, the morning prayer group is, we have prayer groups spread out throughout the area, you know, but this is just the one that I'm going to, you know, so. And that's just 2 days. And a few were sent in from larger UBM that the Lord spoke verses to people, and they sent them to us. And we only asked God, you know, when we, you know, did our faith thing, we only asked God to speak without asking a certain subject. In other words, we left it up to the Lord what he wanted to speak to us. He chose the subject of the faction war against us. That's what he chose. And when we get verses like that, we don't want to just stay on some one subject or whatever like that. We want to hear what God has to say. And amazingly, they all agree that the Father has given us victory over the Edomite dragon. So let's declare it from local and larger UBM. In faith towards the Lord and towards Satan too. We speak in faith. So here's a verse that we, here's a bunch of verses that we received in just those 2 days, which is amazing because that one local prayer group is a small group, you know, but they're spread out, right? Psalm 37:32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. They're watching right now. I know for a fact there are people reporting to the rest of the factious people. They're reporting everything I say, and they're tweaking it quite badly. I've found that out. But they're passing it on in some form or fashion. And seeketh to slay him. And on it goes, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Praise God. Good promise. Hold on to that. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. This is the whole point, is to keep the way of the Lord. Because that's the test. To do what you want to do, or live after your lusts, or keep the word of God. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. And by the way, the bride owns the land. She don't just live in it, according to the scriptures. And when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. What is the native soil? Earthly, the earth, right? But one passed by, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Folks, this is going to be over. Part two is coming. And it is awesome. And yes, it's going to be in the wilderness, but boy, are we going to see an awesome, awesome revival. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for there is a happy end to the man of peace. Amen. As for transgressors, remember they're scattered, right? The transgressors get scattered, and they have been. As for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. And Lord help them and rescueth them. He rescueth them from the wicked and saveth them because they have taken refuge in him. I know that some of you out there are also being attacked by factious people. And they're mailing stuff to people. People have checked with us and complained that they're mailing slander to them and things like that. So we know that's happening. So just remember, if you read that stuff, you're not obeying the word of the Lord. Matthew 18 and 15, 2 Timothy chapter 5, about receiving an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses, etc., etc. Zephaniah 2 and 8, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon. Now, these were brothers of Israel who warred against them as the factious of our day do. They're a type of Ishmael or the Edomites who did the same thing, right? Wherewith they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, a possession of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. And the residue, or remnant, of my people shall make a prey of them, and the remnant of my nation shall inherit them. They will be under the bride. And verse 10, this they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth. And men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the nations. In verse 12, ye Ethiopians, in other words, those who walk in darkness, that's what the Lord has showed us concerning this. Has nothing to do with the racist opinion. We don't believe in racism. Ye Ethiopians, those who walk in darkness, also you shall be slain by my sword. So the Lord, when Jesus came, remember, saints, when Jesus came as the man-child in his day, and that day is being repeated in our day according to the scriptures, there was a great falling away. There was a great falling away of people that were at that day considered to be the people of God. But they had rebelled against the Lord, and he had had enough. And he was bringing them into judgment. And, too, by the way, they were being brought under the Roman Empire, the beast kingdom. They didn't have their own kingdom anymore. They were brought into bondage. They were taken into bondage, much like when Israel was taken into bondage to Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome and so on and so forth, right? Egypt. And another text, John 16 and 26. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Do you believe that you have power with God, favor with God? You know, the bride had favor with the king. It was her favor with the king that saved Israel from the beast represented by Haman, who was seeking to destroy them. And so the very people that are going to need the help of the bride are making war against her. And of course we know, he said, because you've loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. To love him is to keep his commandments and to love each other, as he said. Isaiah 60 and 14 says, and the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. See, now you know why I said what I said in the verse before. And all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord. What is that? That's the bride. The Zion of the Holy One of Israel. They're going to know it. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man pass through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the nations, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer. They're going to know it. The remnant of God is going to know it. The Zion of the Holy One of Israel, they're going to know his salvation power, right? Hallelujah. For brass will I bring gold. Well, that's a great value exchange there. And for iron I will bring silver. Yeah. And for wood, brass. And for stones, iron. In other words, the Lord is sanctifying his bride. He's making her more and more valuable. And that is through the Word of God that she not only has heard, but lives in and obeys. Those that don't obey, they're going to go unto the beast. And that's been told to us many times in many different ways all the way through the Scriptures. God is awesome. I will also make thy officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, that is the bride's land. Desolation nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation. In other words, inside the walls of Zion, there is salvation, there is deliverance, there is healing, there is everything that's needed. And thy gates, praise. How do you enter in? Through praise to God. Remember Jehoshaphat's, the army that came against him, they went out praising God, and their enemies were scattered and conquered, right? Now, we've received this several times concerning the faction, Jeremiah 4 and 21. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? In other words, to make war. The bride hears the trumpet, warriors coming against her all the time. This is part of the sanctification, right? To make war foolishly. And verse 22, for my people are foolish, they know me not. They are sottish children. They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Again, all these verses were given to us by God. We didn't go pick them out. In Psalm 40 and 1, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, who devise mischiefs in their heart. Continually do they gather themselves together for war. They have sharpened their tongue like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. And verse 4. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man. Yes, Lord, that is our prayer. Preserve us from the violent man, who have purposed to thrust aside my steps. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. In other words, snares, right? And we know that according to the word of the Lord, that they shall fall into their own traps, their own snares that they set for the righteous. Over and over, God says that. And verse 6, I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Give ear unto the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O Lord, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his evil device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. Yes, Lord, that's our prayer. Grant not the devices of the wicked. Verse 9. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischiefs of their own lips cover them. Yeah, because what a person sows, so shall he reap. They will reap faction. They're reaping it in their families. They're reaping it in their children. They're reaping it because they're sowing it. You can't even convince them of that because the demons have their minds. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, whence they shall not rise. An evil speaker shall not be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. And I will encamp about my house against the army, that none pass through or return. Isn't that neat? He's encamping about his house against this invading army, that none pass through or return, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. The day is coming. For now have I seen with mine eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Oh, praise God. It is so, it is so. The Lord gave us this verse, and he's trying to tell you, he's coming. No, not in the way the worldly church believes it. He's coming in his people. Praise God. He is God with us. Right? Because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. To the extent the Word of God lives in you, you believe it and you act upon it, to that extent He lives in you. Right? He's coming in His people. And woe be unto them that crucify Him again, that crucify themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Woe be unto them. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, even upon a colt, the foal of an ass. In other words, once again, the Lord is going to come in a body of flesh of the Son of David, not physical Son of David, but spiritual Son of David, and He's coming in a humble way. You know, Jesus didn't even come in a very fancy body. You know, Isaiah 53 says he wasn't really good looking, like you'd think he might come. But because that's not important, and he wanted the whole world to know that's not what's important. Good looking, good talker, good singer, whatever, you know. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. In other words, those that are making war against her, right? He's going to cut them off. And the battle bow shall be cut off. And he that speaketh peace unto the nations, he speaks peace unto the nation. And his dominion shall be from sea to sea. You know, the Lord is going to have dominion over his holy people, but the beast is going to have dominion over his rebellious people. That's just Bible. Happened over and over and over. And from the river to the ends of the earth. Praise God. The kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, right? And as for thee also, because of the blood of thy covenant, I have set free thy prisoners from the pit, wherein is no water. I believe no water means no word. Set free from the pit. What happens to those that don't forgive their brother? Oh, they're turned back over to prison. According to Matthew 5, Jesus in Matthew 5, they go back into their prison. In other words, in bondage to the old man, in bondage to sin, etc., etc. They've fallen back into their youthful lusts. Amen? And verse 12 says, turn you to the stronghold. In other words, let's go up to Zion. Right? You prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. See those people that return to Zion, he is going to render double unto them. That's a good promise. It's a good promise for people coming out of apostasy, right? For I have bent Judah for me, and I have filled the bow with Ephraim. And I will stir up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece. That was, of course, the beast of their day, right? Of the day when Greece, you know, between the Testaments, actually, conquered the world. And I will make thee as the sword of a mighty man. Amen. He's talking about Zion. Going to make them as the sword of a mighty man. Sword, of course, represents the word that comes out of their mouth, right? Amen. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. When God brings judgment, saints, he brings it through men. The Bible says, be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full. God can say that. Man can't say that. He can say that about whoever he wants. Many people like to judge and send their anathemas just like this person sent theirs to me, you know. It's foolish because that's not what's going to happen. And you'll find out. Well, I'm not saying that we can't be attacked by the wicked, but it ain't going to prosper. Not the purpose of the kingdom of the devil. It's going to, anything that does happen is going to prosper God's kingdom, the crucifixion of his people and their righteousness and their purity and so on and so forth. God is awesome. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning. And the Lord shall blow the trumpet and will go with whirlwinds of the south. You remember when recently the Muslims were complaining that their rockets were being, the Jews' God was redirecting their rockets that they were being fired, and one of the Jewish Iron Dome guys said they missed one of the incoming rockets twice, and it was headed for a populated area, which is not normal. And then a strong wind hit that thing and blew it out over the ocean. He saw it. He said, there is a God. Praise God. Their terrorists were once again thwarted. And ours will be too. The Lord of hosts will defend them, and they shall devour and they shall tread down the sling stones, you know, that which was made to bring down Jerusalem, right, the bride. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine. They shall be filled like bowls, like the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted on high over his land. Oh, praise God. For how great is his goodness. Well, amen to that. How great is his beauty. Grain shall make the young men flourish, and new wine the virgins. See, the Lord's going to do that when he vanquishes the northern army. We just read that, right? Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So now he's telling him when the timing of this statement's all about, you know. Even of the Lord that maketh lightnings, and he will give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. So pray, saints, for the Lord to send his rain, both the former and the latter. Right? Many people need the former. Many people once were filled with the former rain, and they don't have it anymore. They're no longer filled. They've gone on in their own works and grieved the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 49 and 34. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam. That's the Iranians. They're Semites. They're actually brothers of Israel. Did you know that? From Shem. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the Iranians are. But they hate their brother, and they persecute them. And guess who that sounds like? In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them towards all those winds. In other words, when the armies came against Israel, and they had God's favor, or Jerusalem, and they had God's favor, they came as many, maybe three armies, and they were scattered. They fought with one another. Their faction fell in between them because that's what they sowed, and they were scattered. And, hey, it's coming again. God said so. And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. Yep, because this is a worldwide warfare that's going on in the spirit. This is true. And I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life. And I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, says the Lord. And I will send the sword after them, till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and I will destroy from thence king and princes. In other words, those who were should have been kind to their brethren. He's going to take out their leadership. And he's already done that with the faction. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring back the captivity of Elam. Wow, that's the good. This is the thing we've been praying for, you know, to return our brethren from captivity. Many will return to the Lord as we have prayed. Amen. So pray for that too, saints. Ezekiel 37 and 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. They've lost the hope of salvation, right? They're dead in their sins like bones. Lost the hope of salvation. Lost the faith. Nobody can have faction and have faith. They don't have any faith. They don't have any miracles. They don't have any power. They don't trust in the Lord. They trust in their own works. And they don't realize they're missing something. But they will, because God is able to turn that switch just like that. We've seen it happen. We prayed for a person a while back. Asked the Lord to just flip that person's switch, Lord. He did. They just came right out of it and so grieved at what they were doing. It was just awesome. Wonderful work of the Lord. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people. I will bring you into the land of Israel. So they've been taken captive. They died out there under the beast, you know. Many will return to the Lord as we have prayed for. We just know that. They don't realize it, but we're their best friends. We're some of the few people that are praying for them. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves. Yep, see, they're dead in their sins. Oh, my people. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Oh, they're not in their promised land. They're not living on the promises. They've been taken captivity. They've gone down to Egypt to serve the old man again, you know, and all kinds of things. Because the people that went down there, as you know, the beast conquered. When they fled their land, they went down there for a refuge to submit to the old man, the Egyptian, and the beast went down there and took them out. There ain't no refuge, saints. There's no refuge for people that don't abide in Jesus Christ. And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Folks, people that are trying to get you out of God by putting a demon on you, they're trying to kill you. You better think about that. They're trying to kill you. Don't listen to slander, railing, reviling. A factious person after a first and second admonition, refuse. Obey God. Romans 16 and 17, about those that cause divisions. Get away from them, he says. Romans chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, excuse me, same thing. Get away from them. Get away from them. Don't let them send you something in the mail to turn you into a demon-possessed person. Hebrews 6 and 4. For us touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. I gotta tell you, those who receive these things through UBM are more responsible for their sins. Listen to me. You can know too much to turn back. And then fell away? It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Well, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You understand? Now, we didn't run any of these people off. They all got angry and left. Couldn't stand our presence. Got angry for nothing. And you're going to figure that out one day, too. Some who are young and ignorant, who were just deceived by these people, will return humbled, as the Lord said. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We all need to be humble. Both sides need to be humble. We got to be humble to the Lord. We got to be humble enough. We'll submit to His will, His word, His love, etc., etc. We just have to do it. Or we just don't have anything. For the land which has drunk the rain, and anybody that sat on this ministry very much has drunk a lot of rain, that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them whose sake it is also tilled, receiveth blessing from God. So if you bring forth fruit of what you have heard here, that's good. But if it bear thorns and thistles, in other words, you heard it, but you're not going to do it, it is rejected and nigh unto a curse. whose end is to be burned. Can you imagine that the Lord gave us all these in that method just by faith? Nobody picked them out or anything. All about this war against us. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Amen. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed towards his name, in that you ministered unto the saints, and still do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even unto the end. See, the problem is, saints, remember the parable of the sower. Four groups there received the word. Only one held on in diligence to that word. It was precious to that one group to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's a sad thing. There are so many fallen away Christians out there in the world right now, and most of it is to blame on the preachers and on the people who plundered them and used them for their ego. That you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Psalm 92 and 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Praise God that God would consider destroying the wickedness and the iniquity in his people. Right? But thou, O Lord, art on high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn hast thou exalted, like the horn of the wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also has seen my desire on mine enemies. Mine ears have heard my desire of the evildoers that rise up against me. Amen. It is God. It is his work. That which maketh a man to be desired is his kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Thus saith the Lord, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance. Yes, we did get it again. And hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will stretch out my hand upon Edom and will cut off man and beast from it. I will make it desolate from Teman, even unto Dedan, shall they fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my wrath. And they shall know my vengeance, says the Lord Jehovah. So there it is again, you know, that the Lord uses his people to judge those that judge them. Thus saith the Lord, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with despite of soul to destroy with perpetual enmity. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. And I will execute great vengeance upon them with wrathful rebukes. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. Proverbs 6 and 12. A worthless person, A man of iniquity is he that walketh with a perverse mouth, that winketh with his eyes, that speaketh with his feet, that maketh signs with his fingers, in whose heart is perverseness, who deviseth evil continually, who soweth discord. That's what faction is, saints. Discord. Trying to divide people unto yourself for the sake of selfish ambition. That's what factious is. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. On a sudden shall he be broken, and that without remedy. Without remedy. And there are six things which the Lord hateth, yea, seven, which are an abomination unto him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked purposes. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that uttereth lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates this. It's an abomination unto him. People are storing up wrath to come against them by doing such things. Isaiah 51 and 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation unto all generations. Awake, awake, and put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of ancient times. Yes, the Lord is going to do it again. Zion is going to awake. The bride is going to be strong, like she was back in Jesus' day. Signs and wonders and miracles and authority. Is it not thou that didst cut Rahab in pieces, that didst pierce the monster? Yep. Here's a neat text, Esther 9 and 5. And the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and with slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto them that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And Parshan Datha, and Dalphon, and Asphatha, and the Poretha, and Adalia, and Eridatha, and Parmashta, and Arisai, and Aridai, and Vizatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the sons of Hamadatha, the Jews' enemy, slew they. But on the spoil they laid not their hands. They wasn't in it for profit. You know, some people are in it for profit. They want to make division for profit. These people wanted to slay the Jews for their own profit. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? And then he said, now what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee? Or what is thy request further, and it shall be done? Ooh. He gave great favor to the bride. He was basically doing what she desired. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews that are in Shushan to do tomorrow, also according unto this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done. And a decree was given out in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons, the beast that came against them. And the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men in Shushan. But on the spoil they laid not their hand. And the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, because the beast was trying to kill them, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of them that hated them 75,000. But on the spoil they laid not their hand. Well, a neat text. And again, what we see here is that when you separate a person from the demon spirit and they're back to their own ability to think and to reason and so on and so forth, and they're delivered from that, well, that's that death to that old life, right? Praise be to God. And a factious person said, I was Moses, and would not go into the promised land because of his false interpretation of a very good dream. In the dream, an old man went up a mountain and released an eagle. And the meaning of that, of course, is that the old man releases the new man, the eagle, the overcomer. And we were given this, actually, not knowing it, but we were given this by faith at random. Here it is, in the same 2 days. Deuteronomy 34 and 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. The Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the hinder sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. That's their promised land, right? Saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over hither. Well, that was said to the old man, because he don't enter into the promised land. It's the spiritual man. But as you read on, you find out the same interpretation for that dream. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, not the son. There's a difference between a servant and a son. Servants serve under the law. They serve for all kinds of reasons. But the son serves the father for love. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Moses, the servant, just to give a little interpretation, Moses, the servant, the old man, could not bring them into the promised land. He had to die so that the new man, who is Christ in you, could do that. Now that is why the man-child is coming, saints. Coming in a body of flesh again, to do the same thing Jesus did 2,000 years ago. That's why he's coming. And so Moses couldn't bring him into the promised land. Jesus had to do that, right? And where's Jesus? Well, I hope he's growing in you. Well, just read on. He says, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so that the days of weeping in the morning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, or Yeshua, which is what? Hebrew for Jesus, right? Or some people say Yahashua. I don't care, either way. But Jesus, the new man, the man-child, brought them into the promised land. Yeshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. He'd passed on the baton, right? And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Ain't that awesome? What an interpretation of that dream is right there in the scriptures. All right. Jeremiah 23 and 1 was a text that we received. Woe unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away. And for what? For what did you do this, I say? You no longer studied the word? We've had brethren that gathered with you and said, oh, we don't read the Bible. We just play guitar and sing songs and eat. Come right out of the meetings. Had that happen a couple times. Oh, we don't do that. You know why? Demons don't want to read the Bible. They don't like the Word of God. So what did you scatter God's people from? Studying the Word of God, walking in holiness, and now you can't do anything for them. They're just scattered, hanging around out there. No shepherd. No. You have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. I declare it. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them. See, he did it, but he used vessels of dishonor, and they are to blame. Notice. And will bring them again to their folds. They're going to return. Had dreams about this. Many, many. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. They're going to know that here they are on the edge of the wilderness tribulation. And the only thing that's going to cause them to survive is the Word of God in their heart. And they're not getting it from the worthless people that are teaching them to hate, to criticize, to lie. And I will, that's all they do. You know, I mean, here we are trying to teach the flock, trying to make books, trying to make tapes, trying to make things that will help people to survive through the tribulation. And all they got to do, because they don't do any of these things, is to stand back and criticize and hate and make haters out of other people when they pass on their anointing to them. And I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them. See, it ain't going to work. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be lacking, says the Lord. That is, any of the elect. There will be none of the elect lacking. That's what the Lord's talking about here. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Oh, praise God! And Israel shall dwell safely. Praise God! And you know, those that find this new leadership, folks, recognize them. See, what the devil is doing is causing people not to even recognize them. They won't recognize them when they come. They won't like them. The Jews didn't either when they rebelled against the Lord and got full of demons. They didn't recognize Jesus when he came. That's what the devil's working on. If he can't kill Jesus in the time that he wants, he's going to try to kill the people so they won't recognize him when he comes. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, as the Lord liveth, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But as the Lord liveth, who brought up and who led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, came out of bondage. He's going to be leading them out of bondage. Notice that. And in time for what? The man-child's ministry. That is the elect. That is the people who repent, right? And, of course, that's where they're being attacked from, is the north. That's the beast's entity. And from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So repent quickly, saints. We're on the edge of the tribulation period. You need faith, you need power, you need the Word of God in your heart. Don't waste time with people that don't have any time for God. All they got time to do is go and rail at others. Concerning the prophets, my heart within me is broken. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pastures of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their might is not right. Amen. So, you know, the Lord's making this wilderness for God's people. It is a way to separate them from Egypt, from the land of the north, and to walk by faith in Him. If you don't have any faith, you are in trouble. You need to get faith. You need to live by faith. You need to do it now. Where we're going, the righteous will live by faith, and nothing else will support them. Oh, you can take the mark of the beast, which all the people that don't have faith will do. And verse 11, for both prophet and priest are profane, and it is that way today in the so-called church. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, says the Lord. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as slippery places in the darkness. They're not going to be able to know where they're going. They won't have the guidance of the Holy Spirit because of their rebellion, and they won't have faith in God. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Is the Lord coming in a visitation? Yes, He is. And the Sauls will die, and those that serve them will bring back the man-child Davids to rule. Praise be God. Praise be to God. It is according to history. In Psalm 35 and 1, strive thou, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight thou against them that fight against me. That's a good prayer. Give them something to do. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Good prayer. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that pursue me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be put to shame and brought to dishonor that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and confounded that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and the angel of the Lord driving them on. Sounds like a tumbleweed, doesn't it, in the wilderness. Let their way be dark and slippery, and the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Now remember, this is not the anger of a man against men. This is the words of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying this. For without cause, and does the Holy Spirit have the right to judge? Oh, yes, He does. And He can even judge through men. And 35 and 7, for without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit. And as we've said, the scripture goes on to say all over that those that dig the pit will fall into it. Without cause have they digged a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares. Let his net that he hath hid catch himself. There it is. With destruction let him fall therein. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones say, Lord, who is like unto thee? Who delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that robbeth him. Unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not. They reward me evil for good to the bereaving of my soul. And what does the Lord say about he that returneth evil for good? Evil will not depart from his house, the Lord says. So remember that when people have done you good, served you, and you turn around and you stab them, oh, God is watching. He says, evil will not depart from your house. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting. And my prayer returned into my own bosom. I'm sure God is pleased with those kinds of prayers for people that have done you evil, but he doesn't necessarily answer them. Remember, the disciples were beseeching Jesus, Lord, you speak to them in parables. They don't understand what you're saying. Why are you doing that? They were eager for them to understand what the Lord was saying. But the Lord said, no, it's too late for them. To you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. And we're headed towards just a place just like that for a bunch of people who have been evil towards their brother. Mistreated Jesus' own children. And he's going to reprobate some. I behave myself as though it had been my friend or my brother. I bow down mourning as one that bewaileth his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced, gathered themselves together. The abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. Like the profane mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. How long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling, from the lions. Now you see, if you came upon a people and that's all they were doing, is railing at others, criticizing others, not doing anything to, as far as the gospel is concerned, not healing the sick, not going out and doing the work of God. If you came upon a people like that, you'd say, this is not Christian. But if they called you on the phone or they sent you an email and acted real smiley, or you just saw them once in a while and they acted real smiley and they wanted to dump something on you, would you sit there and let them do that? Because this is who they are behind the scenes. I will give thee thanks in the great assembly. I will praise thee among much people. We need to praise the Lord, right, saints? Remember Jehoshaphat? They praised the Lord. Their enemies were defeated. We need to praise the Lord. Praise is the language of faith, isn't it? You're thanking God for things that you haven't seen yet. You're just praising him and thanking him for them, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you that he bore our curse. Thank you that our enemies are already conquered. Thank you that we've been delivered out of the power of darkness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hateth me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful words against them that are quiet in the land. You know, if a person that's normal had a falling out with a certain assembly, they'd just walk away. That's what's normal. They just walk away, go somewhere else. They wouldn't try to disturb the peace of everybody else in the house or gain disciples from them, you know, or send slander in all directions, you know. That's not normal. But when you got demons and the purpose of those demons is only to tear down a certain ministry because of all the good it's done, then you can understand why they do that. But they devise deceitful words against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me. They said, "Aha! Aha! Our eye has seen it. Thou hast seen it, O Lord." Yep, they claim they saw something. They got something to accuse. They've been watching carefully to find something to accuse. But the Lord has seen it. And that's where the trouble's going to begin. "Thou hast seen it, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to justice due unto me. Even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness. And let them that rejoice over me, let them not say in their heart, 'Aha, so would we have it.' Let them not say, 'We have swallowed him up.' Let them be put to shame and confounded together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, 'The Lord be magnified, who hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.'" You know the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He has given us grace. He hasn't counted our sins against us, unless, of course, they're willful rebellion against the Word. He hasn't counted them against us. Any kind of failures shouldn't be mentioned. Any kind of ignorances shouldn't be mentioned, because that's all covered by the blood. Outward immoral sin is what people are judged for. And if that's not a willful disobedience, then that person's not judged. It is for willful disobedience. So when people who are looking for something and grasp at straws and then take it and wrench it and twist it into something it never was to begin with, and totally perverted, well, that's not a normal person there. That's a person that's demon-possessed. "My tongue shall talk of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." Thank you, Father. And we just threw in a few verses here that we received on the 9th and the 10th also. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch." There it is again. "And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely." God just wanted to make sure we heard that. A few verses we get like that. It's kind of very odd, since the Bible is such a big book, and you flip it open and you pray and you flip it open and stick your finger down on something that either somebody else just got or you might have had it the day before. And you know, when you do that, you pay more attention to it, right? You say, "Maybe I didn't get all the Lord wanted me to get the first time." "And Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard, and will show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and the flame of devouring fire. With a blast and a tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be dismayed. That's the Sennacherib scenario, right? Through the voice of the Lord, that army is smitten and couldn't take Zion. Where does the voice of the Lord come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. But where does it go through? It goes through His servants. And, of course, you know, the prophet spoke it, and Sennacherib's army was smitten. And they laughed him to scorn, as a matter of fact. Through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be dismayed, and with his rod shall he smite him. And every stroke of the appointed staff which the Lord shall lay upon him shall be with the sound of tabrets and harps, and in battles with the brandishing of his arm will he fight with them. For a Topheth is prepared of old. Yea, for the king is made ready. He hath made it deep and large. It's kind of the opening of hell, right? The pile thereof is fire and much wood, and the breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. And we got Matthew 18 and 13 on down. It says, And Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Speak to the mountain, saints. You know, when Jesus pointed out that mountain, he was talking to the disciples, that was that the mountain that represented apostasy. And he said, speak to it. Cast it down. Well, amen. We speak to the hateful rebellion against God and against His servants. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. You hear us, Satan? We cast it down. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. You will utterly fail. And so will your servants. And Proverbs 4 and 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And walk not in the way of evil men. It seems that some people don't know what the way of evil men is. They're so easily deceived. But you know what? When a person is easily deceived, it's because God has delivered them over to that. You'll send them a delusion. I've seen it happen, saints. It's just totally unreasonable. There's nothing you can reason that people would be so stupid. But it happens, and it happens because God is delivering people over to delusion. Because they did not love the truth, they had pleasure in unrighteousness, Paul said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, right? So when people do that, they have selfish purposes, selfish means, and they're hiding their sins, and the Lord delivers them over to the devil, then there ain't a thing you can do about it. Just back up and pray for them to come out of it, right? He said, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass on. In other words, don't fall into their trap. Don't walk in the way of evil men. For they sleep not, except they do evil. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Yeah, like the guy that stayed up all night long, railing at me. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Amen. They're more and more like Jesus, more and more full of joy, more and more full of love, more and more full of His fruit, right? And the Word of God is not cast down into the dirt. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it's still true today. They really didn't. I never really could appreciate what he said there until it started happening to me. They know not what they're doing. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Oh, saints, get in the Word. Don't get distracted by crazy people. Get in the Word. Love the Word of God. Love the truth. Speak it. Seek to live it. The people that are not doing this, delusion is coming to them. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Be careful what you put in your heart, because what you put in there is what's going to come out, right? And if it comes out evil, you're going to get judged. Put away from thee a wayward mouth. The Lord lays down lots of rules about what you can do with your mouth. The faction can never obey them. They never obey them. Never. And perverse lips put far from thee. And we got 1 Samuel 15 and 17. And Samuel said, though thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? He's talking to Saul. Saul got the big head. He wasn't going to obey the Lord. He wasn't going to put to death the old man of the land. He was going to save him and spare him and so on and so forth, right? The people that have ego, they spare the old man. They can't stand to put him to death. They have selfish ambition. That's what ego is, right? And, they'll pump themselves up in front of other people, make themselves out to be something that they never were. And sometimes people believe them, and that's dumb. And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. In other words, he's saying, get rid of your old man, the old man that's ruling in your land. Who is the land that has drunk the rain? Well, in Hebrews 6, it's us, saints. Where is the old man? He's in there. He's in the land. He's got to be put to death. We got to rule this land. We got to raise our crops in this land. Wherefore, then, didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? Yep, some people, that's all they're interested in, is the spoil, the things of the world, the love of the world, ambition, people to admire them, people to lift them up, people to, they lust after disciples. Of course, they're not qualified because of that. You know, Jesus didn't hire any Bible school graduates. It was, he had one, and he had to knock his brains out, and that was Paul, right? And but these simple men that just knew they didn't know anything and followed him to find out what the master did and how he did it, you know. They did fly upon the spoil and didst that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He's in denial. Clearly, everybody can see that he didn't obey, but he's still saying he's obeying. Poor old Saul. Bet he had a problem with rejection and jealousy. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. He's a liar, trying to get the prophet to believe him. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. There he brought this man back that the Lord said kill. Oh, we got to keep him alive, right? The old king, man. We got to keep the old man alive. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the devoted things, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. All a bunch of good reasoning, but totally contrary to what he was commanded. The only thing he had was the lust of the flesh ruling him. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And he's not kidding. People that have rebellion, they got witchcraft. And stubbornness is as the idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also will reject thee from being king. And that's when he chose David. And Job 21 and 30, that the evil man is reserved to the day of calamity, that they are led forth to the day of wrath. Who shall declare his way to his face, and who shall repay him what he hath done? The Lord, the Lord. Daniel 11 and 21, and in his place shall stand up a contemptible person to whom they had not given the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in time of security and shall obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Wow, now I know what the letter of this means and what it's talking about and also how it's actually happening. The Lord can so use the scriptures for so many glorious ways. And it is so true. A despicable person. Philippians 2 and 1. If there is therefore any exhortation in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Doing nothing through faction or through vain glory. Pride, faction. Doing nothing through faction, not causing division, right? For your selfish purposes. But in lowliness of mind, each counting others better than himself. Not looking each of you to his own things. No selfish ambition, right? But each of you also to the things of others. What do they need? What do the people need? Do the people who are trying to make disciples care that they need the Word of God? That they need true teachers? No. They don't. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, you can also see James 3 and 13. It goes pretty well with that. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now that's what comes automatically with faction. The Lord knows it. That's why he's warning them. And jealousy too. If you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not. See, it's an ego trip. And lie not against the truth. They think nothing of lying. They may have never done it before. Those spirits came over them, but they think nothing of it. When the spirits come in. Faction does that. Faction is a lying spirit. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and actually it says demoniacal. It's demon possession. 4. Where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. Believe me, I know this. People who go fall back under the sins of their former life and think nothing of it, feel very self-righteous about it, have no faith in God, they're demon-possessed. And we just pray that God can bring His people who are in apostasy, because He can grant their conscience back to them. Remember Nebuchadnezzar when he had fulfilled his time out in the field eating the grass. The Lord flipped the switch. What am I doing out here? What is this stuff? And boy, did he appreciate God. Now that was the whole point. That's why he went through that for 7 years. Can you imagine? And boy, did he appreciate God. He knew who ruled in the kingdom of men. He knew it was God. See, he always thought he did. He was always proud about his accomplishments and everything. Even when he was impressed of the things that God did for his people, he was impressed with all that, but he still was full of, pumped up with pride, as a lot of kings are and presidents. Pumped up with pride. Well, Genesis 37:4 says, and his, meaning Joseph, who was a type of the man-child too, and his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, and they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Do you suppose the same thing is happening to the man-child in our day? No, I guarantee it. Things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. I guarantee it's happening. Saints, fight the good fight of the faith against the demon forces. Pray fervently for our brethren in bondage, because it ain't them. We know them. We've been very close associated with some of them. We know this is not them. So pray for them. Cast down the principalities and powers. Fast and pray and seek the Lord and cry unto Him to have mercy and grace upon His people. And I pray for you that you will be wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. And that you won't let them bring you into their trap. They'll do anything they can to bring you into it. They'll send you something that they know traps other people. Some lies, some deceit, some slander. They'll try to corner you and dump a bunch of stuff on you. You know, even Satan didn't do that, you know. And even those who understood Satan didn't do that against him. And the Lord said so in Peter. Right? People doing such things, you know, railing against other individuals, they're perverted. They've been taken. So be careful, saints, and please be diligent to pray. Fast and pray. You know, whatever you can do, do it. Please, and we'll put our faith together, and we'll see a glorious victory, and we'll see the biblical pattern fulfilled, and a great revival coming. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we love you, Lord. We love our brethren, too, Lord. We want you to see you do a wondrous revival in their hearts and save them from these despicable demons. And, Lord, have mercy. Have grace. Cause your people to sacrifice. Cause your people to sanctify themselves. Sanctify your body, Lord. and hear our prayers. Lord, anyone out there with sin in their life, Lord, You made the sacrifice of Jesus, Father, so that they could be free. Lord, we ask You to have mercy and grace upon them that they might be free, that they might follow You, Lord, that their words could be heard, that faith could fill their heart because their heart doesn't condemn them. Lord, fill them with faith, Father. Have mercy. Have grace. Thank You so much, Father, for what You're doing in Your people. Thank You today for all of Your wisdom that You've given us over the last few days concerning this warfare. Thank You for the victory we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, saints.